Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 7 through 9, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Message 4. Go and disciple all the nations. Scripture reading, Matthew 28:16 through 20, Acts 1:8, 13:1 through 3, and 14:23. And verses 26 through 27.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for the high gospel.
Amen.
Well, we really can testify the Lord has been opening His heart to us this weekend.
Amen.
And He's been unveiling to us the high gospel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the high gospel.
Amen.
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 I really appreciate the progression and the unveiling through all the messages this weekend.
Amen.
Firstly, Friday night, we saw that man is what?
The meaning of the universe.
Man is the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
In Zechariah 12, we see that God stretched forth the heavens.
Right.
He laid the foundation of the earth.
Amen.
And then He did a particular thing. He formed the spirit within man.
Amen.
Man is so significant because God has an eternal purpose.
Amen.
And it is through this man who was created in His image to exercise His dominion on this earth that God can fulfill His eternal purpose.
Amen.
So hopefully this weekend our view has been uplifted
Amen.
About ourselves and about all those around us who are also longing to be brought into God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
We also saw Saturday morning that Christ is what?
The meaning of our human life.
Amen. Christ is the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
Well, as a man on this earth, without Christ, we have no hope.
Right.
Rather, when we are under the authority of Christ, when Christ is the meaning of our life, when we are taking Christ as our life, taking Christ as our person, we are practically in God's kingdom today.
Amen.
And we are fulfilling His purpose, that is that we would express Him and we would represent Him on this earth.
Amen.
This is the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
And this is our real satisfaction and hope
Amen.
That we have this wonderful person within us. Amen.
Amen.
Not only that, we saw that the church is the expression of Christ in a people who are living the real corporate life, the real communal life.
Amen.
And we saw this was God's original intention, that He would have a corporate man on this earth to express Him and to represent Him.
Amen.
Last night it was opened up to us. However, at Babel, there was a situation where man was divided and he was scattered.
Right.
But today, the Lord is gathering men out of every tribe
Amen.
And tongue
yeah.
and people
Amen.
And nation.
Amen.
And He's making them into a kingdom.
Amen.
A kingdom on this earth.
Amen.
Universally, but also locally and practically,
Amen.
We are being brought together to live this Christ and to be His testimony on this earth.
Amen.
Isn't this the high gospel?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, this morning we want to go further to see the commission of this church. What is the commission of us as the corporate Christ? And that is, if we turn to message 4, the outline, it is to go and disciple the nations.
Amen.
Go and disciple the nation.
Amen.
To bring them into what we're experiencing.
Amen.
What we're experiencing of as Christ as the meaning of our human life and the church life as the real expression of Christ and the real community life. This is our corporate commission to go and disciple the nations.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, before getting to the outline, let's read the focus all together. It's at the bottom of message 4.
Our life should be a light of preaching the high gospel, to save sinners and baptize them into the body of Christ for the building up of the church, which requires
requires us first to be built up with others and coordinated with others to fulfill the corporate charge of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this is a high calling and this is a high commission. And I think we're burdened this morning that you would appreciate and see what a high calling and commission that we have. But also that you would see that this is something that is just so normal and this is so attainable.
Amen.
Sometimes when we come to a message like this on preaching of the gospel, right away we're intimidated, right? This subject of preaching the gospel can be intimidating. Well, I think you'll be very encouraged by the end of this message. We don't have to be intimidated because this is not an individual charge. Jasper, you individually need to go and disciple the nations, right? No, but this is a corporate charge. You, with the brothers that you're built together, with the saints that you're built together with, you corporately have this commission. Wow, the burden is so light. Because it's not on us as individuals.
Amen.
But this is a corporate commission.
Amen.
Also, we should be encouraged, and we will be encouraged, to see that all authority has been given to Christ, and we go with this authority.
Amen.
We have the backing of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Amen.
And lastly, we should be encouraged because, as we heard in the testimonies yesterday, actually, this is what all men are seeking. This is what all men are longing for. So, as we have the feeling to mention something to one of our classmates, we have to have this realization. Actually, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, but this is what they are actually longing for.
Amen.
And we need to fulfill our commission to bring them into this.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. This is a key passage related to this morning's fellowship. Amen. And we'd like to read through these verses together, corporately. Amen. We'll have the brothers on verse 16, and then the sisters on verse 17. And so forth. Amen. Okay, brothers, verse 16. Go.
And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus directed them.
Okay, so note here, this charge that is coming is to the 11 disciples. This is a corporate charge. This isn't to an individual. Amen. Okay, sisters, 17. Though some doubted, or some hesitated, some wavered. When we come to this topic of the gospel and going out to our campus, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we hesitate. Sometimes we waver. So the disciples were just the same. Amen. But now we have the encouraging word coming from our Lord.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, verse 18.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Hallelujah. All authority
Amen.
Has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
Sisters, 19.
Go therefore
and disciple
all nations,
right.
baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go therefore. Amen. Okay, all together, verse 20. Amen. Behold, I am with you.
Amen.
Be encouraged.
Amen.
Behold, He is with us
Amen.
As we go to fulfill this high calling, this high charge, and this high commission to bring others into this high gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah for this word in Matthew chapter 28. Amen. Okay, when we come to point A, let's read this together. To disciple the nations is to make the heathen the kingdom people for the establishing of Christ's kingdom, which is the church, even today on this earth. Amen. What is to disciple the nations? What is our calling and commission? It is to make the heathen the kingdom people.
Amen.
For the establishing of Christ's kingdom.
Amen.
To make the heathen the kingdom people.
Wow,
wow, this is a wonderful transfer.
Amen.
To make those who are completely in a different realm.
Right.
To transfer them into a realm of the kingdom.
Amen.
And we saw a little glimpse last night and yesterday what this looks like. What is this kingdom? Well, what does it look like? It's a group of people who have Christ as the meaning of their human life and who are living together in the real corporate life.
Amen.
This is our commission to transfer some and to bring some into this wonderful realm.
Amen.
Hallelujah, the kingdom. For the establishing of Christ's kingdom, which is the church, even today on this earth.
Amen.
Well, the whole book of Matthew is a book on the kingdom. And so this charge to disciple is in line of bringing people into this kingdom.
Amen.
Well, also these verses that are referenced here are also very good. Acts chapter 26. This was Paul's commission to be a minister and a witness. To do what? To turn people from darkness to light.
Amen.
There's a lot of people around us. And we were in this state at one point.
Right.
Just wandering around in darkness. Not clear what the meaning of their human life is.
Right.
Well, we have the opportunity to turn them from darkness into light.
Amen.
And from the authority of Satan to God.
Amen.
That is, from Satan's kingdom
right.
to be transferred into God's kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I've really been enjoying the verse in Colossians, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13,
Amen.
Giving thanks to the Father who delivered us.
Right.
Delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Amen.
So, in our going, we're not just preaching a low gospel. We're not doing something small and insignificant. But we are delivering people from the authority of darkness, and we are transferring them into this wonderful realm, the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Amen.
This is a wonderful realm to be in.
Amen.
In the church life, we have the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Amen.
Isn't this our experience?
Amen.
The church life is just full of love.
Amen.
It's full of light.
Amen.
It's full of life. What a wonderful realm to be in.
Amen.
And I was also touched with Romans chapter 14, verse 17. You can open to it if you like. The kingdom of God, and this is all Romans chapter 14, is the context of the church, the practical church life. And it brings out, what is the kingdom of God in the church life today? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wow, isn't this a wonderful gospel?
Yeah.
To be brought into this realm of righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. This is the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Amen.
And, you know, I was just considering my experience. I've been in different community lives or corporate lives. And, you know, I was on a sports team and we were there together. We had a sense of community. We had a sense of purpose, maybe even some enjoyment. But how shallow is that? Compared to this real corporate life, this real community life.
Amen.
Also, I was a member of a fraternity in college. I wanted friends. I wanted society. And, but you know, after being in that, there's just a feeling of emptiness, dissatisfaction, even there's unrighteousness. There's people talking behind one another's back. There's backstabbing. There's strife. There's misery contrasted with righteousness, peace, and joy.
Amen.
Even some of us in our jobs, I know when I was working for a little bit in our job, there's a sense of community there. You're together, but is it a realm of righteousness, peace, and joy?
No.
I think all of us could testify it's a realm of unrighteousness. There's strife there. And there's some misery or unhappiness there, right? Well, you know, after I finished college, I was so desiring to be delivered, as it talks about in Colossians chapter 1, out of the authority of darkness into this realm, right, of righteousness, peace, and joy. I just gave myself to make the church life my social life. And as a result, I felt right. There was righteousness. I felt right with God. I felt right with others. And as a result, my being was at peace. And as a result of this peace, there's joy. Right? I think this is our experience when we're in the church life and when we're giving ourselves practically to be in the church life, we just feel right. We just feel right with God, right with others. Our being is at peace. And there is the real joy in the church life.
Amen.
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 So we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
With all the testimonies we heard yesterday, we realize all man is longing for this.
Right.
They're longing to be brought into this realm, the kingdom of the Son of God's love, a realm of life, a realm of righteousness, peace, and joy.
Amen.
This is to disciple the nations.
Amen.
Hallelujah for this commission.
Amen.
Okay, point B, to disciple the nations is to preach the high gospel.
Wow.
Well, how do we know this? Matthew 28:20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
Wow.
Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So it's not just a basic or simple gospel. Right? But this is an all-inclusive gospel. All that the Lord has commanded us, all that He's shown us, which includes our living of Christ and having Christ as the meaning of our human life and our being in the church life as the real corporate life to have the expression of Christ, His testimony on the earth. This is the high gospel.
Amen.
So for this, point one, we need to study. We need to study the divine truths in the Bible and the printed ministry to equip us for the preaching of the high gospel.
Amen.
So we need to be equipped.
That's right.
So how's your Bible reading? Are you reading the ministry which opens up the Bible? The footnotes which open up the Bible? We need to have a schedule. We need to get into the Bible and the printed ministry that we would be equipped. Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, from a babe knew the sacred writings. And this scripture was profitable that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. We need to have the intake of his word so that we can have the outflow.
Amen.
So Paul was charging Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to be ready in season and out of season.
Amen.
That means the opportunity for the gospel many times comes to us when we're not expecting it. You may be just in a study group one night, not expecting the gospel. You're just there. And then all of a sudden, someone starts to open up how they're not happy, how they're dissatisfied. Well, we need to be ready to speak something.
Amen.
Right? We need to be equipped. Maybe you just share a little bit. You know, I have Christ as my life.
Amen.
This is why I have peace. This is why I'm satisfied.
Amen.
And then they ask you, okay, where do we see this in the Bible? Well, you know, we just need a practice. To be equipped, don't just wait until you've studied, you feel like you're equipped, you feel like you're ready. But as you practice, in my experience on the gospel, the first time when someone, you have to go back, you search the scriptures, you find the word, and then you have something to present. Well, the next time, it's that much more, you're ready.
Amen.
then the next time, that much more, you're ready. You're just equipped. You're ready in season and out of season. So I would just encourage you, don't wait until you're fully equipped, but just practice.
Amen.
Practice to just speak, and you will become equipped.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, then point two, the high gospel. We need to be equipped. The high gospel, the gospel is what? The gospel is Christ.
Amen.
Christ, the very embodiment of the triune God, reaching us as the Spirit for our enjoyment. So this gospel is a person reaching us for our enjoyment. This is what we're bringing to people. We are a factor that the triune God could reach others.
Amen.
Wow, this is our commission. The triune God wants to reach others.
Amen.
For our enjoyment and for their enjoyment. So this is our commission, to bring others to touch this person. As was pointed out yesterday, our gospel is not one of morality, one of being a good person. It's not one even of religion or so-called spirituality. But what we're doing is we're bringing people in touch with a person.
Amen.
A person that is so enjoyable.
Amen.
So for us to bring others into that, we ourselves have to be the enjoyers.
Amen.
People have to see us enjoying the Lord. When they see our joy, they'll be attracted, and then we'll be able to dispense something that the triune God could reach them also, that they could have a life of enjoyment.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just a little experience with this. You know, recently in our home meeting, all these high schoolers have been coming to our home meeting just off the campus. They just started appearing. And again, this was a matter of corporate fruit bearing.
Right.
We didn't do that much. They just started appearing in our home. But there were some that have been faithful to go to the campus once a week and just wait when the high school releases and start to meet some of these high schoolers. And gradually, more and more started to be open. And also, the church corporately has been praying for this. I'm in the church in Anaheim, and there's a lot of high school students in Anaheim. We don't have that many college students, but we have a lot of high school students. So we're burdened. What about these high school students, right? Well, we've been praying. So there's the corporate fruit bearing. Eventually, these ones need a home to come to. So they started coming to our home.
Amen.
Well, just, you know, on Friday night, one of them was just commenting, how come you're always smiling? Every time we sing this song, he pointed out like three or four times in the meeting, you just keep smiling. You're so happy. Well, this is you know, we need to live this in a daily way.
Amen.
But, I mean, I enjoy the home meetings,
Amen.
Right? So I'm just smiling.
Right.
And, you know, some of these high schoolers, one of them didn't even know what he was coming to. He hopped in the car and he came. He didn't even know he was coming to a Christian meeting. So, but they're seeing something. Wow, getting a little taste. Wow, the kingdom of the Son of God's love. What is this place? Why are these people so happy? Why are you smiling?
Right.
Anyway, we'll see. Maybe they'll keep coming back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we need to be the enjoyers.
That's right.
We need to be the enjoyers so that those around us would be attracted. Amen. Okay, point three, to preach the gospel is not merely to win souls, but to gain people from different countries and put them into the triune God, that they may become citizens of the kingdom of the heavens for the establishment of this kingdom.
Amen.
Wow, what a high gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this requires some continued labor. So we just also like to encourage you, our preaching of the gospel doesn't stop with someone calling on the Lord and receiving Him, but it requires a continued labor. We need to continue to feed them, but again, be encouraged. This is a corporate matter. We have others. We're laboring together. We need to continue to feed them until they become the real citizens and the real functioning members and part of this kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what we're doing, we are bringing the establishing this kingdom on this earth today.
Amen.
You know, we've been enjoying the song. This comes from Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Hallelujah. Men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And the Lord has made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth.
Amen.
So this is our high gospel.
Amen.
And what we're doing, we're bringing in the end of this age. Yesterday we heard God's original intention was to have this corporate man expressing and representing him. And since Babel, there's been a work to gather these ones, to transfer them into this kingdom, and that they would become this corporate person to express him and represent him on this earth.
Amen.
Well, this is what we're doing. As we go to the campus, we should realize that we are bringing in the fulfillment and manifestation of the kingdom.
Amen.
Practically having this kingdom as a testimony on our campuses and in our localities.
Amen.
What a high calling.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, a big matter in this commission in point C is the matter of baptism.
Right.
Praise the Lord for baptism.
Amen.
The Lord says, go therefore and baptize them. Now, to baptize in Greek means to dip or to immerse. Okay? And what is to baptize them into what? Into the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what are we doing? We are baptizing people. We are putting people into the triune God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are not putting people into any denomination, into any group. This is not baptism. Baptism is to transfer people and put them into the triune God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for baptism. Not only that, in the Bible, we have three other matters, and that is in Galatians 3:27, baptism puts the believers into Christ.
Amen.
Baptism puts the believers into the triune God,
Amen.
And baptism puts the believers into Christ.
Amen.
Also in Romans 6:3, baptism puts the believers into the death of Christ.
Amen.
And it goes on in Romans 6:4, so that rising up, we might walk in newness of life.
Amen.
So this is a very important step in order to be brought into this high gospel, to be brought into this realm.
Right.
We need to be put into the death of Christ, that our old man is crucified with him.
Amen.
That we could be raised up to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
In another realm, the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And lastly, to baptize people is to baptize them into the body of Christ.
Amen.
That is, into the body of Christ, that the believers may enter in organic union with Christ and His body.
Amen.
So we just encourage you, especially any of you who have not been baptized, there will be an opportunity later. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
So these are two very important steps for us to enter fully into salvation.
Amen.
Right? So inwardly, yes, we need to believe into the Lord. And this is the inward reality when we receive the Lord. But baptism is the outward affirmation, the outward testimony before men of the reality that we believe in our heart. So we need both. We don't just have baptism as an outward ritual without the inward believing. But to have the inward believing without the outward testimony, something lacking there. So we need to believe and be baptized to have this full transfer.
Amen.
And there's a wonderful picture in the Old Testament of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel were in a particular realm.
Right.
They were in Egypt. They were under Pharaoh.
Right.
That is, today, typifies being in the world under Satan in a particular realm. But God had a desire to bring the children of Israel into the good land to be His kingdom on the earth.
Amen.
Well, they had to pass through a particular step. And that is, they passed through the Red Sea.
Amen.
And in the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his armies were buried there.
Amen.
And then they were able to go on, firstly into the wilderness, to enjoy Christ as the manna, as the water from the cleft rock, and eventually into the good land, to enjoy the rich produce of the good land and to be built up as God's kingdom on the earth.
Amen.
Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that this occurred as examples to us. So this significant step, if we want to be building up God's kingdom on this earth, a very important step is the step of baptism.
Amen.
So either for yourselves, if you haven't been baptized, also in our care for others, we need to realize it's wonderful to get someone to call on the Lord with us, and for them to receive the Lord into them. But also we need to bring them further, and we need to pray for this corporately with our groups, that people would be brought through the step of baptism.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Then lastly, real quick, before Charles continues, Roman numeral 2, we need to see certain qualifications for us to go and disciple the nations. Point 1, in Matthew 28:16, these 11 disciples went to the mountain. That is, to be disciple others, we need to be transcendent. We need to be looking from the high ground with the high view. And I think after this weekend, all our eyes have been uplifted. We've been brought up to the mountain, and we realize as we go back, we have the high view of what we're doing and what our commission is to carry out this high gospel.
Amen.
Secondly, we need to see that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And then it says, go therefore. So first we see this, we need to have a vision of this, that all authority has been given to him, and then we go with this authority. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter said, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified.
Amen.
So Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
As we go to the campus, we realize Jesus is Lord at Cal State Long Beach.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord at Orange Coast College.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord at Saddleback College.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord at Fullerton College.
Amen.
At Cerritos College.
Amen.
We need to go with this realization, and we have the backing of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lastly, when we go to disciple the unbelievers, we have to have the faith that we are in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The verses in Acts show that as the early church was there, they were there praying together, and then the Spirit was outpoured.
Amen.
And then they had the power of the Holy Spirit in their gospel preaching.
Amen.
Well, the Spirit has been outpoured once for all, so now we just need to claim it. As we go, we don't have to worry about our feeling, whether we feel qualified, our condition. We have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It has been outpoured on the body,
Amen.
And we just need to claim it.
Amen.
Hallelujah for this high commission.
Amen.
And hallelujah for these qualifications.
Amen.
Amen. How about if we read the focus all together?
Amen.
Our lives should be a life of preaching the high gospel to save sinners and baptize them into the body of Christ for the building up of the church. Which requires us first to be built up with others and coordinated with others to fulfill the corporate charge of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you encouraged?
Amen.
It's a corporate charge.
Amen.
And I really appreciated this point. What is the intrinsic purpose of the gospel? Right? It's in point 3 under B. The intrinsic purpose of the gospel is not soul winning. And I think this is what we've been seeing. This is the high gospel, not the basic gospel. Well, the intrinsic purpose of the gospel is to take people out of a realm, out of the nations, right? And put them into the triune God.
Amen.
To make them the heavenly citizens of the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
For the establishing of the kingdom of God on the earth.
Amen.
But what I appreciate about this is, you know, I don't know much about citizenship rules, but in order to make someone a citizen or invite someone to be a citizen, you have to be a citizen. Right? So there's a brother I know who was not a citizen of the United States. But he couldn't. He was trying to petition green card and go through the routes. But when his mother became a citizen, she was able to apply for him. And he was able to become a citizen. So in other words, we're putting people where we are. We've been baptized into the triune God. So we're qualified to take someone who's not in the triune God, who's in the nations, right, of the Gentiles, and put them into the triune God, where we are. So in the same way, here we are speaking about Christ and the church. In order for us to disciple, to bring someone out of the nations and fully into God's eternal purpose, we'll see. And I think we've been saying we need to be built into the church.
Amen.
So I think another word of encouragement I've been enjoying, appreciating this weekend is the vision is so high. Last night, the vision of God's eternal purpose, what God is doing on the earth, right, is so high. But it has to be high. Our God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He can do anything He wants. And this is what He chose to do. He chose to become a man. And then this man would come and say, I will build my church. This is what the unlimited God is doing on the earth. Of course it's going to be high.
That's right.
The vision release is so high.
Amen.
But I just appreciate, how do we enter in? According to the divine revelation in the Bible, it's so easy.
Right.
So enterable.
Yes.
Right? So the vision is high, but the practice is so enterable.
Right.
Anybody can enter in.
Right.
And I also appreciate, you know, this word about being a corporate charge. It really releases the weight of the gospel. I mean, I didn't preach the gospel much in my college years because I was kind of like what Daniel shared. I had a lot of my old man. I was always being drawn the other way. And so I wanted to maintain my old man. I enjoyed the new man. And then I over here and I just really cultivated my old man. Right. But there was no righteousness, peace and joy.
Right.
Just strife, bitterness, unhappiness, no peace. Well, what we see is that this gospel is actually, I don't know what your experience is when you heard the message is going to be on the high gospel. I overheard a sister say, oh, are we going to go to Big Bear City and preach the gospel? You know, and this is maybe our attitude. Oh, we're here to stir you up. Chris, you need to preach the gospel. Go therefore, right? The Lord, He didn't even call out the disciples one by one, or even two by two. Okay, James and John, you brothers, okay, go therefore. Peter and Andrew, go therefore. But He gathered them together,
right?
And the burden of this conference is not that we would be stirred up with some kind of zeal, you know, to go out and preach the gospel.
Right.
You know, that is not, and the word comes out, that's not the prevailing way.
Right.
And that's not the way the Lord took with the first group of believers that He gathered together.
Amen.
So I just want to look at some verses here in Acts. Acts chapter 1.
Amen.
And it's so good. You know, another encouraging word is that this charge that was given to this group of believers, they were our age. They were your age. Consider the disciples. They were in their 20s. Maybe their late teens. They were young people. They were just like you. How long had they been regenerated? 50 days maybe, right? And Pentecost was 50 days after the Lord resurrected. So that means they were, maybe you're a new believer, maybe you just got saved. And you're thinking, oh, well, I'm not qualified. Actually, you're more qualified than the disciples. Because you have the truth. They didn't even have the Bible. All they had was the living person of Christ. The life He lived. What He spoke.
That's right.
Right? So anyway, we are, this is encouraging.
Amen.
Right? This is awesome.
Amen.
Okay, so then the Lord, He gathered them. Right? And He spoke to them. And eventually, in chapter 1, verse 15, in those days, Peter, he stood up in the midst of the brothers and said, and there was a group of persons gathered together, about 120.
Amen.
Right? And eventually, these 120, you know, what did he do with these 100? What was taking place with these 120? You know, the charge we read in Matthew 28 that Joe read was, and I think we all appreciate it, we all read it, go therefore and disciple all the nations. But I don't know if you're aware, maybe actually I should back up a little bit and read, was that an automatic go? Did they just go? Right away, they just dropped everything, let's go. But actually, you read Luke. The book of Luke. And the Lord said, go in Matthew. But in Luke, He says, behold, in verse 49, Behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But as for you, stay in the city. And in the Greek, that word stay means wait. Wait. Go. Wait.
Amen.
Go. Wait.
Amen.
Right? And that's what he said. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Right. Stay in Jerusalem. So this is another encouragement. Again, according to the divine revelation of the Bible, the burden of the gospel, the burden of the high gospel is not something that just kind of inspirational. You just get inspired and you go out. You know, there's some power to that. There's some, you know, have you ever gone out and spoken just kind of one-on-one? I'm going to go speak to somebody. I encourage you to try that. Right? You really experience the Spirit in a fresh way, powerful way. But that's not the prevailing way. And what we're here for is the prevailing way.
Amen.
The way the Lord took with the first group of believers in the book of Acts.
Amen.
And so in Acts, they were gathered together. And what did they do? Did they just sit and wait for those 10 days after the Lord ascended? But what? They gathered and they prayed.
Amen.
They prayed in one accord for 10 days.
Right?
So they were waiting, but they weren't waiting, but they were praying.
Amen.
So they took the charge of the Lord. The Lord's charge was go, but yet they waited and they prayed. So we'll see. We're not here to be inspired, but I hope that we would all pick up a fresh burden.
Amen.
What the Lord wants is for us to have a living touch with Him.
Amen.
That we would pray, pick up this burden on the Lord's heart for the increase and spread of the church.
Amen.
Okay, so Roman numeral 3. How about we all read it together?
The
nations is a corporate charge. The Lord's charge to go and disciple all the nations. Yeah, again, disciple. A disciple means you are a disciple, and you make someone a disciple. So it's a lot more than just preaching the gospel for soul winning. But you are built in to the church, right? You've seen the vision as much as you've attained, you know. And again, how much did Peter, did the disciples, did they really see concerning the church? Right? I mean, the Lord spoke the word church 3 times in the whole New Testament, in all the Gospels. Right? The word church is mentioned 3 times in Matthew. And that's it. How much did the Lord speak about the church? How much did they really know? Right? But they took the Lord's charge and they prayed. And through their prayer, the Lord was able to build them together. And there could be the testimony. You know what that was? That was the church. And so when Peter spoke... Well, anyway, I'll get to this. Peter's speaking is just amazing. Okay, so... A, the ones who go are the church in a corporate sense. This means that we need to be fully built together with others in a practical church. And this is what I just appreciate. This is very encouraging. It's a practical church. You know, like what was mentioned last night, the church is universal. The church is just Christ, composed of all the believers. In fact, all the believers are the church. Christ is the church. Even the littlest member is Christ.
Amen.
Right? And but the church has to be practical. It has to be touchable.
Yeah.
The body has to be touchable.
Right.
So I really enjoyed the picture of Saul, right, persecuting the believers, but then the Lord says, ow, right? Saul is hitting the arm of the body. And the Lord says, ow, right? And I enjoyed this in Acts chapter 8. You know, you see this again. Saul was persecuting the church. He was devastating the church. Was he, you know, touching something in the air? What was he devastating? You know, the saints. So it says he was devastating the church. But then it says, you know how he was devastating in Acts chapter 8? He was going house to house and dragging them out. It's very practical. He says he was a great persecution against the church. Okay, that's the universal church. That's the church composed of all the believers, the members of Christ's body. But then in verse 3, Saul was devastating the church, entering house after house. So the church, although it's universal, vision so high, it's very practical. House after house. The homes are really the practical church life.
Amen.
Amen. Right? And if you've heard this before, really pray you would hear it again for the first time.
Amen.
The homes are the practical church life.
Amen.
This is how we enter into the vision of the universal church. Through the practical house-to-house church life.
Amen.
This is how the disciples practiced the beginning of the church in Acts. They met day by day, house to house. They were gathered together. So this is very practical. Persons gathered together. This is the church in a corporate sense. And this is being built with others. You know, I appreciate this because this is very practical. We need to be built with some where we are. Right? I mean, we can be very, we could be somewhat spiritual about it. And we could say, well, I'm a member of the church, but, you know, I just like to be alone. I like to be by myself. Maybe I go to church on Sunday, right? But I don't feel really the need. I need to be practically with others in my locality where I am, right? You know, the church, there's only one church. This came out last night. There's one genuine church.
Amen.
It's composed of all the believers in a particular city, regardless of their conviction or practice regarding the church, concerning the church. There's only one church, right? And so we need to meet in a locality with others that are the church, right? Peter, this was Peter's experience. Peter, when he stood up to speak the first gospel message in Acts 2:14, maybe we could read that together. How about everyone turn to Acts 2:14? I'll read it to you. You follow along. But Peter, standing with the 11,
Amen.
Lifted up his voice and spoke forth to them,
Amen.
Men of Judea and all who are dwelling in Jerusalem,
Amen.
Let this word be known to you and give ear to my words.
Amen.
Peter, standing with the 11.
Amen.
He was standing with the 11.
Amen.
You just have this picture of Peter after the prayer for the 10 days. Standing with the 11.
Amen.
He had been practically built together with those 120, even specifically with those 11. But what was Peter like before this experience? You read his experience in the Gospels. Peter was always wanting to be first, right? Always, you know, Peter and James and John, I'm sure they were always quarreling. You know, I'm sure when James and John said, Lord, who will sit at your right hand? I'm sure Peter was like, hey, what about me? You know, so they're contending. There's even strife.
Right?
But then, after they got regenerated,
hallelujah.
I don't believe that it was all of a sudden, you know, it was just, oh, praise the Lord, brother. Right? I mean, yes, I know in our experience, we have the life of God.
Yeah.
I have the life that Prince has. And that joins us
Amen.
To the God of the universe.
Amen.
But I'm a big soul. I'm a big self.
Right.
My old man, I know in my experience, it needs to be cut, right? Daniel, it was cut. It was put on the cross. But in my experience, my soul prevents the building.
Right.
And we'll see this. So then they prayed. And in their prayer, there was the building.
Amen.
They weren't just sitting around considering, what do we do?
Right.
They were praying
Amen.
For 10 days.
Yeah,
Saints, I don't know what your experience is. Have you considered how difficult it is to pray for 10 days? You know, many of you, I hope, are experiencing the practical side of being in the church life, practically being built with others.
Amen.
You know, we're on the college campuses and we are realizing, you know, we need to be built with others. So maybe, hopefully, I hope you see that we need to be joining together, twos and threes,
right.
You know, student coordination,
yeah.
You know, as the outreach of the church.
Amen.
We're built into the church where we are in our locality.
Right.
And that church is indirectly spreading on the campus through you. Who are built into the church.
Amen.
And so you're on the campus realizing I need to be built up with the church people that I'm with on the campus.
Amen.
And so what are you doing when you gather together in your student coordinations, in your little groups? Do you just reason? Do you just discuss? Do you just talk? Oh, you know, I have a friend of mine and we were talking the other day and he wanted to know, you know, is there a God in the universe? Oh, that's very good. Yes, we should discuss. And how, you know what we do? We pray.
Amen.
You just pray.
That's right.
The main purpose of our gathering together in all the student coordinations. Many times there's so much to take care of, right? I mean, there's so much going on the campuses. But you know what your main responsibility is? Just like the disciples who were given the charge to go and disciple. What a charge, right? Their main responsibility was to pray. You need to pray. Why? So you can be built together. Without the prayer, there's no building. Right? It's not a matter of just being, you know, even I would say the testimony of the oneness is not just having a group together of multicultural, multinational, multiracial, multilingual. But there has to be a testimony there. Right? That the world can testify. You are one. That only takes place through the building, through the prayer. So practically, right, we'll see this. I think it'll come out here. We need to be with those on the campus, in the church, in the homes. I hope many of you are, realize that you need to be in a home.
Amen.
The practical church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How about sisters read point one? Amen.
Amen.
Our oneness in Christ is the strongest testimony. You know, and I was just appreciating Acts, Peter's first gospel message. And can you imagine? 3,000 people get saved. The first gospel message. 3,000 people. Now you may be thinking, oh, you know, he probably gen-revved them, right? He just unleashed everything. And they saw it all. How much do you think Peter saw? Again, he didn't have Paul's epistles. He didn't have the whole New Testament. They didn't have that. But Peter, he had the revelation. He had the Spirit, right? And he spoke. But you know what they had? And I say they. Peter standing with the 11. They had the testimony.
Amen.
That there's a God in the universe.
Amen.
And He's right there. Right? And I just want to read these verses in John 13. This matter of the strongest testimony. The Lord said to them, little children. Okay, in verse 34 and 35 of chapter 13 of John. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. That you also love one another.
Amen.
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 Even the littlest member, even the most uncomely member. Love one another.
Amen.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another.
Amen.
This is the greatest testimony. You know, Matthew 24:14 says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole inhabited earth, all the nations, for a testimony.
Amen.
And then the end will come.
Amen.
There has to be a testimony. The testimony is our oneness. The testimony is that this high vision of God's eternal purpose is so practical and so seeable. Right? It's witness. There's a testimony of this on the earth.
Amen.
Something that can't even be conceived in man's heart.
Wow.
Something that everybody's longing for.
Amen.
A sense of community. The real social life.
Amen.
God lived out in humanity in a corporate way. That which has been scattered at Babel is gathered in Christ.
Amen.
And it's lived out through a group of believers who have prayed and have been built together.
Amen.
And then Peter gives his message. I don't have time to get into it, but Peter speaks. And I just tried to speak it out as if I was Peter. And you can release Peter's gospel message in less than 5 minutes. 4.5 minutes. And 3,000 got saved. Was that, I mean, of course, the Spirit anointed the Word. But what those men were saved from, those men who were listening, those Jews, the same ones that had crucified Christ, they got regenerated.
Amen.
Through His speaking. They got baptized into the triune God.
Amen.
Because there was a testimony. Because these disciples were practically, locally gathered together in the city where they were, praying, right? They were local. It was very practical. So this practical is just so, and that word is so comforting. It's very practical. And okay, point two. If we are going to do a prevailing work for the preaching of the gospel, we need to be built up in a local church, in a church which is practical and definite. Again, this is prevailing work, a prevailing work. You know, I want to give a little testimony. I was fellowshipping with a family, and they have a home meeting. You know, they meet with a church in their locality, but they also practice not just to be Sunday to Sunday, but in one another's lives, home by home, house to house, right, with one another, practically with the ones I'm with, not just see on the Lord's Day on Sunday, hi, praise the Lord, bye, see you next week. But I realize the Lord needs to gain a building. That doesn't happen one day a week. So they're just endeavoring according to the practice in the New Testament to be gathered together, you know, and even if it's inconvenient, many times it's inconvenient. I want my own space. My time is so limited. But, you know, if it's worth it, you'll pay the price. And so anyway, this brother, this college student, he's a junior, and he's just being built in this home. They meet on Monday nights. And he also meets together with this brother he's a working brother, but they meet together in the evening a few times a week just to pray and fellowship and open up to one another. And this brother has a burden for those in his class. But the Lord has been putting a burden on his heart. And so, if this charge was just to him, go therefore, then he would have to go to the campus, preach the gospel, and disciple this one all the way, right? Because again, we realize we're not just here to get people saved and then leave a crying baby on the sidewalk, right? We have to bring these young ones and bring them all the way through.
Amen.
Shepherd them, care for them. That's a lot of work, right? Maybe that's part of the burden. We realize when you get somebody saved, that's a new believer. That's a new baby. You can't just leave them. There's a responsibility there. But if you're built in locally, practically with the believers in your locality, on the campus, where you live, the burden is on the church. The church can bear it. All authority's been given to the church. So anyway, this brother, there was a Muslim. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, maybe it's easy to go up to a Christian and say, hey, would you like to meet for a Bible study? Oh, you know, you'll get a few. Oh, I'm a Christian. Let's meet. How about I go up to a Muslim? Hey, how would you like to have a Bible study? You know, maybe that's intimidating, but the Lord says, go to the nations, right? He doesn't say go to the, you know, the believers, the Christians. He says, go to the nations, right? So anyway, this brother is a Muslim. He's from India. He's been in the United States 9 years and he has a burden for this one. So he invited him. Hey, would you like to come to a house for dinner? Oh, that's so easy, right? And this guy said no. So he went back and then they just fellowshipped. Then Monday night, oh, he didn't come. And then during the week, they got together and they prayed for this one.
Amen.
What about this one, Lord? What about this one, Lord? That was the church praying for this one. And then the next week, they went, hey, would you like to come for dinner? Oh, sure, I can come. So he came for dinner. And then they were enjoying the Lord. They had a little bit of singing. They ate some dinner. And then they had a little fellowship. And they asked this one, hey, do you know who Jesus is? They just were, you know, speaking a little bit. And he was like, yeah, we know about Jesus and he's a prophet. I've heard about him and no interest, you know. But then, and he had a good time and then he was getting ready to leave. And somebody said a little word to him. Just said, I just want you to know that God put eternity in man's heart. And he stopped and he said, what did you say? What? I mean, you just imagine, they were speaking the gospel, Christ, Jesus, you know, a lot of words were being spoken, but it was that little word from a little member that stopped him, right? And you know, he didn't get saved, not yet at least, I haven't heard, he didn't get saved yet, but his response was, wow, are you of the church? I guess he thought, you know, they were all like ministers or something, but no, you know, we just love the Lord, we're just members. Right? And he said, hey, can I bring my friend next week for dinner? Right? So this is the prevailing way.
Right?
This way, through the prayer. That brother, when he went out, he wasn't alone. He wasn't sitting in class in his lab, just, you know, oh, I'm all by myself. Lord, strengthen me. He was built into the church.
Amen.
When he went, the church went.
Amen.
He was built in a practical way. The church is going to gain that one.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
This is the prevailing way.
Amen.
We need to be built in.
Amen.
Okay, 3 and 4. How about sisters read 3, brothers on 4? Amen. Brothers. Whatever we do will be for the producing of the church life. Not whatever we do. Amen. By the Lord's mercy and grace. You know, I don't know what your experience is when you consider, you know, we're here. I would testify for you all. It's God's mercy and grace that you're even here this weekend. That I'm here this weekend. So, we're endeavoring, saints. We're endeavoring to be built together. It's not easy. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, you know, you're striving together. It's a striving together with one soul. Right? Even he says, considering each the virtues of others also. Not just your own virtues. So I would just ask you, you know, in your student coordinations, maybe you have a home meeting. On a Friday night, and maybe your group, maybe a few of you like to meet together on another night of the week to pray for that home meeting. Maybe for the outreach on the campus, a group of you students are being gathered together. Right? And I would encourage you, if you're on a campus and you know of such a gathering where the students are gathering together, you should join with them.
Amen.
Right? It's not an exclusive group. It's inclusive. Right. Are you a member of the church?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Will you join with the church?
Amen.
Gathering together on that campus. Right? Practically. Right? So, you may be in a coordination and maybe you're very strong and active and outgoing and outspoken. And maybe there's a little sister, right? Who maybe doesn't say much. You know? And you're just taking everything on your way. Right? Oh, we're just going in this direction. Do I hear a nay? Nay? All right, we're going. Right? But you don't, how about you regard Philippians 2:4, the virtues of others.
Amen.
Also.
Amen.
How about you open up to one another?
That's right.
Sister, what do you think?
Amen.
You know? I think we should do this. Sister, brother. Right? I'm so strong, but, you know, we need the body.
Amen.
It's a corporate affair.
Amen.
It's not for the strong ones or for the, you know, more extroverted ones. Right? It's for the body only.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So, anyway, I just encourage you all in your gathering together, you need to open into one another.
Amen.
Right? And in your prayer, you're considering each other.
Right.
This is precious.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 12:24, it's on the sheet here. It says, simply, God has blended the body together.
Amen.
This word blended is harmonized. It also means in Greek tempering. Tempering together. That means there's a mutual adjusting.
Right.
Right? And this is the preciousness of the body life. That believers who in their old man are so different through race and education and major, right, can be gathered together and pray and love one another and appreciate one. I mean, genuinely appreciate one another.
Amen.
We're not here to put on, you know, the burden of the high gospel is not to be filled with some mental knowledge, right? And oh, I love all the brothers. But you know, the world can testify. The world can see if you're genuine or not. If you're real or not. The impact is when there's a group that have been built together on the campus. A group of 5 on a campus of 30,000. They can be built together through their prayer. And the impact is there. Because the kingdom is there. The authority is there. And when they go and speak, the whole church, the church is there.
Amen.
And when they're speaking, 3,000 can get saved. Do you believe this?
Amen.
The testimony is the oneness.
Right.
And if we are genuinely caring for one another, and this takes time. Again, this is why the charge to go is also wait. Go and wait because this is a building.
Yeah.
We're opening. I don't know what the length of time is, but we need to be just spend the time together to pray with one another,
Amen.
To open to one another,
right.
Consider one another,
yes.
Allow the Lord to work in us.
Amen.
And then through this working, the Lord may, we may be able to open up concerning classmates, concerning people that we thought would never get saved.
Right.
You know, we may have some in our heart that are still not regenerated. And we say, Lord, it's impossible. But actually, you need to bring it to the church.
Right?
Right?
That's right.
Even these two or three in Matthew 18, they were considering something, but then they brought it to the church. Right? So you may have somebody on your heart, and maybe you've given up. This is my, I testify, I'm the first. Right? My uncle's still not saved, one of my uncles. But you know what? I'm bringing it to my home meeting.
Amen.
Bring it to my group.
Amen.
And we're praying.
Amen.
And I have the assurance, saints, he will get saved.
Amen.
So, we don't give up. And the prevailing way is the building way. If we're built, the Lord may, there may be somebody on our heart, somebody in our class, you know, that we think is impossible. But if you bring it to the group, there's a way for the Lord to gain that one.
Amen.
A prevailing way.
Amen.
Okay, and I'm going to close. How about everybody on five? Oh, Lord Jesus.
There should be nothing personal or individualistic.
Amen.
All our work is from the church, for the church.
Amen. These are so precious. You know, these disciples, they were gathered in Antioch. And they were gathered there and they were praying. And eventually, the Lord sent out two, Saul and Barnabas. And they're going out. You know, they were, verse 1 of chapter 13. Now they were in Antioch in the local church. Again, the church is local. It's practical. Prophets and teachers. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, they were ministering. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me now. So there was a sending out. And they sent them out. So their going was from the church. So if you're built in, there may be a corporate feeling among the group that you're with. Your home meeting, on the campus, maybe even in the church where you meet on the Lord's Day. There's a corporate feeling, okay, how about this one? And so when you go, you're not going out alone.
Right.
You're going out. You're going as the church going.
Amen.
So these two members were sent out by the church.
Right.
But what was their commission? It was for the church.
Amen.
In chapter 14, they went out and they strengthened. They established the souls of the believers in these different cities. They appointed elders. What they were doing was for the church.
Amen.
Because they were built into the church.
Amen.
There was no way to do something of their own work. Even what they were doing was not for Antioch. It was for the church. The building. The establishing of God's kingdom on the earth.
Amen.
And then when they came back in Acts 14, 26 and 27, it says they just reported everything that was going on. And they were filled with joy.
Amen.
Why? Because the church was spreading.
Amen.
The church was increasing.
Amen.
So saints, we need to be built in. This is our burden. That we would see we need to be practically built in.
Amen.
You know, the word Christian, the term Christian, appears in Acts 11:26 for the first time. But did you know that the word church appears five times prior to that? So actually, what really identified that group that were called the Way, right? They were the church people. And then they were identified as Christians. In other words, you can't be a Christian without the church. Without the church, your Christian life is vanity. This was my experience. To live a Christian life. Without the church life. Empty. Unhappy. Right? But then when I began to present my body practically to the prayer meetings. Right? Not so easy. I needed to build up my spiritual prayer muscle. In your student coordinations, maybe all you can pray for is 10 minutes, right? And don't be discouraged. You just keep presenting your body.
Amen.
It's progressive. There's a building going on.
Amen.
You just continue to pray.
Amen.
Eventually, as I went on by presenting my body to the meetings, practically, to the prayer meeting of the church. You know, when Peter got released from prison, he was imprisoned in chapter 12. You know, and it says the whole church was praying for him. When Peter got released, he went to a house where a group was assembled together and praying.
Amen.
So, are you assembled together and praying with the church. Oh, but the church is universal, but the church is local. There's a group of believers. Do you know where the prayer meeting of the church is? Where you are? Right? You're in a locality. Where's the prayer meeting? Do you know? If someone's in prison, where do I go to pray?
Right?
Somebody needs to be released from bondage. Where do I go to pray? There has to be a place. Give yourself to go. You have to present your body. It's very practical.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Too much to say on this. But this is discipling. Again, what we're doing, if we're built into the church, what is produced is the church. If we're built into the church, and what we do is sent, we're sent out from the church, for the church, and back to the church.
Right.
This is discipling.
Amen.
This is not soul winning. This is we're going out. We're sent out by the church, for the church,
Amen.
For the increase of God's kingdom.
Amen.
And then we come back to the church. And the ones that are brought to the Lord and are discipled by us and by the church, eventually they come back as participating citizens of the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
Right? Even they would be here at this conference.
That's right.
Through being discipled.
Amen.
Right? By those of us who are built in.
Amen.
This is the impact.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen.
So how about we all read B together?
We need to pray. Oh Lord, I do not need anything but the building.
Amen.
Grant me to be built up with others.
Oh Lord,
I need the building.
I need the oneness.
Amen. This is the high gospel.
Wow.
Without the building, there's no high gospel. Again, I was just appreciating last night. If we stop with just a vision, right? There's no high gospel because there's nothing practically to bring them into.
Right.
You know, saints, we need to see this vision. And maybe here I'll just stop with 4 points. And they kind of do. Just a little bit to encapsulate a lot of the fellowship we've heard. The first thing is we need to see and we need to enjoy.
Amen.
What do we need to see? We need to see that we're vessels to contain a priceless treasure.
Amen.
We're not those who are carrying, you know, something of Christ. I'm carrying Christ everywhere I go. Actually, when you go on the campus, you're a vessel filled with Christ.
Amen.
As the treasure. That's the meaning of your human life.
Yeah.
You're just a vessel filled with Christ.
Amen.
Right? We're not holding something out. We're filled with this one.
Yeah.
So we need to enjoy this one.
Amen.
By calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Praying His Word. Enjoying the Lord with the brothers. Allowing our vessel to be filled.
Amen.
And then there's the overflowing. Right? And then we need to practice. Right? This is message 2. Right? Practice to be joined with the Lord.
Amen.
Practice. To be under the authority of the King.
Yes.
To practice to be in the kingdom of God on the earth today.
Amen.
It's a practice. We're all at different stages. You know, I began to practice, in my college years. And just practicing, just being obedient. When the Lord would say, Charles, drop that. I would wrestle for a while. I would wrestle, you know. Charles, go to the meeting. I would get off work at 5 o'clock on a Lord's Day. We had an evening meeting on Sunday. And I would get off work at 5 and the meeting started maybe 5 and I'm so tired and you know what? I'm going to go home and go to sleep. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes the Lord would say, you just go. You just go. Oh, I'm tired, Lord. And I'll walk in late and you know.
Right.
But I would just, obedience.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. You're going, I'm going.
Amen.
And the blessing was there.
Amen.
The appreciation for the church was there.
Amen.
Because I presented my body. Many different things. The Lord may be touching you concerning baptism. Just obey, Lord. Practice. Say, Lord, if you're getting baptized, I'm getting baptized.
Amen.
We just practice. It's a practice, saints. Praying. Little ways. I appreciated a brother's testimony yesterday. He said he was walking on the campus, you know, and he just said, you know, I can't remember what he prayed. He said he didn't remember what he prayed. But the point is, it was a little prayer.
Right.
You know, have you ever had this experience? You just a little prayer. You think, oh, what's the big deal? Just a little prayer. Lord, show me the church.
Amen.
Lord, show me the meaning of my human life.
Amen.
Lord, I've been a Christian maybe for 10 years. But Lord, what's the goal?
Right.
Lord, I don't see the vision of the church. Show me the vision of the... You could just have a little prayer. Lord, show me. And then you just go about your business.
Amen.
Right? You're just practicing to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
Practicing to take the Lord as your person. And then three, present your body. Right? We need to present our bodies to the church, to the meetings of the church.
Amen.
Very practical. Present your body. Right? It's good to stand with one another in spirit, but we need to practically present our body. Then we get filled with the Lord's burden for the church.
Amen.
Filled with His charge to go and disciple. And this charge, we'll see. We've been seeing it's very encouraging. And it's just so enjoyable when we're going out built up with others by through presenting our body. And then four, pray, right? Go, but pray.
Amen.
Be built with those where you are locally and pray. Allow the Lord to work through you and in you and gain a testimony of His church on the earth.
Amen.
That many would see. They would testify, right? In John it says that the world may believe. In John 17, and the world may know, you know, these words, it says, the world may believe and be convinced. The world may know in John 17:23, may know and definitely recognize. So praise the Lord.